I want to talk about today just probably a simple concept, not going to go into anything really deep. But I want to talk about how do you become a Christian? Because if you look in the world around us, you'll find a wide variety of answers. You could even be left with the impression that there really isn't only one way, that there are a variety of things that God accepts as a way to become a Christian. This is despite the fact that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." There's only a narrow way. There's only a single path that leads to heaven. Jesus again in John chapter 14 and beginning with reading verse 6, John 14 verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." There is but one way to the Father. There's one way to enter the presence of God. Another passage that we need to consider is Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "But for through him," that's Jesus, "we both have our access in one spirit to the Father." Through Jesus, we have access to the Father. Both in this case is talking about both the Jews and the Greeks. Both the Jews and the non-Jews, or the Gentiles. We both have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. The reason for that is because of what Jesus did for us. Going back to John, this time John 10. Hold your finger here in Ephesians. We'll come back to it in a moment. John 10, verse 9. Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is the way. You can call him the doorway. He's the direction in which we have to go in order to have access to the Father. That doorway was opened by Jesus' sacrifice. Back in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. "Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Jesus opened the way with his own blood, by his sacrifice. By his death on the cross, he gave us a way that we might come into the presence of God. But if you go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18, notice it says that there's something, someone else also involved. Jesus is the way to God, but it says we have access in one spirit. The Spirit himself is also involved in our being able to come into the presence of God. He is the agency that takes us, in a sense, through that doorway that was opened by Jesus so that we might come into God's presence. The reason why I'm pointing all this out is there are a lot of people that read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and they get distracted by some of the things that are mentioned there. And they make certain assumptions about what the passage is saying. They're not really actually there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the one that's in particular, the one we're going to focus on is verse 13. It says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. Because earlier in that chapter, and later in that chapter, he talks about spiritual gifts. People just jump to the assumption that when he says, by one Spirit we are baptized, then they say, oh, then that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where people get spiritual gifts. But the thing that we need to consider, and the thing that we have to ask ourselves, is when Paul says by one Spirit, did he mean that the Spirit was the medium in which we were baptized? Or is he saying it's the Spirit was the agency through which we came to be baptized? Did the Spirit lead us towards baptism by his direction? Or were we baptized into the Spirit? And that was by the medium in which we were baptized. Part of the, like I said, the part of the problem is that people get caught up in seeing the spiritual gifts mentioned in that chapter. But that's not the only thing that's mentioned there. Going back to the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you look at verse 3, it says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now one way to read that is saying, hey, he's talking about prophecy. And saying no one can proclaim Jesus is accursed if they're a prophet. And that's true. The Holy Spirit's not going to lie. And that makes the obvious sense. But at the same time, if you're saying you're being led by the Spirit, if you're following after what the Spirit taught, you're not going to come to the conclusion that Jesus is accursed. In fact, the only reason you can come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is our Lord is by reading the work of the Holy Spirit, which is our Bible. But the answer to the question about whether we are baptized in the Spirit or if we are baptized by the direction of the Spirit, let's go look at some of the examples of people who have been baptized. We're going to go through just a few examples in Acts. Acts chapter 2. At the beginning of this chapter, there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit, but more than just those people became Christians. And in Acts chapter 2, down at verse 36, Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 36, Peter ends his sermon by saying, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, that's Jesus Christ, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. And with many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. How did these people learn what to do? Well, Peter taught them. Peter and the other apostles were standing there. But we have to understand, too, Peter wasn't just saying things that he was making up off the top of his head. Peter was being guided by the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, looking back at verse 4, we see the Spirit coming upon the apostles. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then going down to verse 14, when people started accusing them of being drunk or acting foolishly, Peter stood up, it says in verse 14, but Peter, taking stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, Let this be known to you, and give heed to my words. These men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I'll pour forth my spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And he goes on with his lesson. He's claiming that he has been inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak. So Peter is the one who delivered the lesson, but whose words is he delivering? He's delivering the words of the Spirit, just as Jesus had promised back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even into the remotest parts of the earth. So what we see in this example, when the 3,000 were saved, is that the Holy Spirit was the agency who moved these people to be baptized into one body. If we jump over to Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, it says, but the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. And he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasury. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join the chariot. And when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or someone else? And Philip opened his mouth and began from this scripture. He preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. Again we see another conversion, this time a single individual, a eunuch. How did the eunuch learn how to be saved? Well, Philip taught him. But again, we notice that the Spirit is involved because Philip was being guided by the Holy Spirit. What Philip taught was the Word of God, which came by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 19, it says, and so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy has ever been made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. All Scripture, and that's what Philip was teaching, came about by the Holy Spirit. We cannot put our own spin on it. We can't give our own interpretation because this is the Spirit's word. So when we look at the eunuch, the agency in which the eunuch knew what to do was through the Holy Spirit. Even though we don't hear the actual words of Philip teaching him about baptism, obviously that topic was covered. Because the eunuch had brought up and said, hey, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? He had to learn from Philip teaching him about Jesus. And we do also understand one other thing here. The medium in which the eunuch was baptized. It says it very plainly here. It was water. He was baptized in water. He learned from the Holy Spirit through Philip, and he was baptized in water. So let's look at Acts 10. In Acts 10, the gospel was first brought to a Gentile household. Cornelius was the head of that household. And starting with verse 34, it says, and he, opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand how now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee, after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And they also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day, and granted that he should become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people, and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse water for these to be baptized who had just received the Holy Spirit, just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And when they asked him to stay on for a few days. Who commanded Cornelius and his household to be baptized in water? Well, Peter is the one who gave the command. But Peter, again, is being guided by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit came upon the household, but that cannot be the baptism that Peter ordered. Because the Spirit already came on the household. And they were speaking in tongues. That was not the baptism that Peter was referring to. Because that command came afterwards as a result of the evidence of the Spirit's acceptance of the Gentiles. The acceptance of Cornelius' household. So when we see Peter saying these people need to be baptized, and no one should be willing to object to this, seeing this evidence, it was the Spirit who was the agency that led Peter to make that command. It was Spirit also that was the agency that allowed the Jews that were with Peter to say, yes, that was the right thing to do. And again, we see the medium in which they were baptized was in water. Going to Acts 18. Acts 18 and verse 8 says, and Crispus and the leader of the synagogues believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. What led the Corinthians to be baptized? Well, Paul taught them the Word of God. But of course, Paul was being led by the Holy Spirit again. Thus, the agency that led him to believe and to be baptized again was the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason why we go through this is I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." By one Spirit, all of us, and he's talking to the Corinthians and himself as well, all of us were baptized into one body. Well, all who were baptized were led to do so by the teachings of God's Word. That makes sense. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 14, it says, "How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. However, they did not all heed the glad tidings. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." How do people gain faith? They listen to the words of God. Those words came through men by the Holy Spirit, and recorded for us in our Bibles. And when people heard the teachings given by the Holy Spirit, and they believed them, what we find is that they were baptized. Going to Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 3. Romans 6, verse 3, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." All of us were baptized. Why is that? See, there's no exception to this rule in the New Testament. They all came through God, through Jesus Christ, in the same way. There's no difference. Baptism in water was the medium in which people came into contact with the death of Christ, because you cannot get to the Father except through Jesus. And baptism was the way. And how did people learn what they needed to do? Well, they had to hear the Word of God and believe. Getting dunked in water wouldn't do you any good unless you knew that that represented the death of Jesus Christ. And the only way you can know that is if the Spirit told you through the Word. So the Spirit is the agency by whom people come to know that they need salvation, and teaches them the way to gain that salvation. That's why Jesus said back in John chapter 3, John chapter 3 and in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And so many people want to put emphasis on one or the other. But what Jesus says, it takes both. You have to be born of the water, and he's referring to the fact that you have to be baptized, and you have to be born of the Spirit. That means you have to learn. That you have to understand and hear the Spirit's words and believe them. You cannot become part of the kingdom of God unless you know what you're doing. And you cannot become a part of the kingdom of God unless you go through Jesus, which means becoming a part of his death. It takes both. The thing we ought to ask ourselves is, have you accepted the words of the Spirit? Have you been baptized into Jesus' death? In Titus chapter 3, Paul says something very similar to what Jesus said. In Titus chapter 3, starting with verse 3, for we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kingdom of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we may be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How are people saved? Through the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. It takes the water and the Spirit to reach salvation. Have you gladly received the Spirit's word? Have you acted accordingly? We'd like to offer an opportunity this day, because there's no better time than right now. That if you wish to put on Christ, there is no better time than now. It's the only time that we have, that we're guaranteed of. There's one who wishes to become a child of God, let your brethren know. There are those here who wish prayers on their behalf, who have become children of God. And we'd like to ask those of your brethren, why don't you let that be known too? Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the celebrity.